Charlotte at 6 podcast is presented by Felix Savadas Mercedes-Benz of South Charlotte, Charlotte's premier Mercedes-Benz dealer and the Carolinas' number one volume sales leader. Over 300 new and 200 pre-owned vehicles always available. Visit mbcharlotte.com.
Charlotte at 6 for a Wednesday. I'm Mark Garrison with the top stories on WBT, and we start this evening with allegations that Governor Roy Cooper improperly used his authority to set up what Republicans are calling a slush fund. Cooper apparently convinced Duke Energy to put $58 million into a fund that he would control, all part of a deal to build a gas pipeline in the state. Now, the money was supposed to help farmers and others affected by constructing the line, but former FBI agents hired by Republican lawmakers said in a meeting today in Raleigh they believe the governor may have broken the law.
Well, we certainly think the facts speak for themselves and the documents do, and we would suggest that each member read the report and also review the documents, and you can come up with your own assessment, but we feel a reasonable person could come up with that.
That was today in Raleigh. Investigators are especially concerned that Cooper agreed to approve the permit for that gas pipeline after Duke agreed to pony up $58 million. They think that deal needs a closer look. Our Brett Jensen was in Raleigh covering all of this today. He joins us live now from the capital city. Brett, good evening. This is a complex story, but this report today raises a lot of questions about Governor Cooper and his actions.
Oh, it was really complex. I mean, it's a three-way love triangle involving a pipeline, basically. You've got the solar companies, you've got the pipelines, you've got the governor, you've got Duke Energy involved trying to get permits. And basically it just boils down to this. Duke Energy and the solar companies were arguing back and forth over something. Nothing was getting done with the solar projects.
Right.
And the governor steps in and says, all right, Duke Energy, we want you to settle this and yield to them. We basically also want you to give us a check for $57 million. And then when you do all that, we'll finally give you the permits to start knocking down trees and build your pipeline. And that, after like several months and emails and all kinds of text messages with chiefs of staff and everything else, Duke finally did it. And right when Duke was getting ready to get the permits, they yanked the permits off the table and said, actually, we want another $2.8 million added to that fund. And once you do that, we'll give you the permits. Duke said, okay, begrudgingly, gave them the extra $2.8 million. And then the very next day, the permits were given to Duke Energy to do the pipeline.
All right, let's take this in little bites. First of all, what's interesting and unusual about this is normally the Department of Environmental Quality issues these permits. In this case, it was made clear that the governor was going to decide on the permit, and he decided after Duke ponied up all this money.
Yeah, absolutely, Mark. And that's the big thing. It's like, well, wait a minute. Why is something that, like, Mark, I'm not joking when I say it never happens. I don't mean like occasionally happens. I mean, it never happens where the governor decides the fate of the permits.
Right.
And that just doesn't happen. They've got the departments for that. And he decided, well, I'm going to hold on to these until everything happens. And whether he was the one in charge of that or his partner, basically chief of staff, Ken Udy, former Charlotte Observer person, that remains to be seen how much Governor Cooper knew, but he knew some things because Udy and all these seized text messages and emails kept saying, well, I'll have to run it by him. I'll run it by him. We're still waiting on this. Once you do this, we'll do that. I mean, it's pretty evident.
So you had a chance to chat with Republican leader Phil Berger today, and he told you, in his opinion, well, listen to this, that the governor, he thinks, of course, he's a Republican, is hiding things.
I think the fact that that the governor and the executive branch was not forthcoming initially, that certainly raises a number of questions. We've learned a long time ago that sometimes the actions that are taken initially, while they may appear to be problematic, even in their best light, That sometimes is not the bigger problem. It's the fact that you try to hide what you've done that becomes a bigger problem. And it sure does look like the executive branch was actively trying to hide things.
Now, another part of this that I find intriguing, Brett, is Duke Energy has been cooperating with these investigators who are working with the Republicans. And they said very clearly, Lynn Good, CEO of Duke Energy, said she met privately to talk about this deal with the governor. Today, this afternoon, the governor is going, absolutely did not happen. He's saying he did not meet privately with Lynn Good. So somebody's lying here.
Point blank lying. And, you know, it should be noted, Mark, that these three investigators, all men in their late 40s, early 50s, are retired federal investigators, including one of these investigators was the 2017 FBI Investigator of the Year.
But they are being paid by the Republicans. I think they're the state of North Carolina through the General Assembly.
Yes, yeah, because it's the Government Operations Committee that hired them to do this. And so, and there are Democrats on this committee as well. So they are being paid by the state to do an independent investigation, correct?
So to kind of summarize all this, the governor steps in, does a deal with Duke Energy to get his hands on $58 million. By the way, nobody's saying the governor put that money in his pocket or anything. We're not sure what he may ultimately do with it. It was supposed to be used to help farmers and others in connection with the pipeline. But he gets Duke to pony up the $58 million. Then Duke gets a permit to build the gas pipeline. And, oh, by the way, he pressures Duke to do a deal, as you mentioned, with some solar companies. And it's been reported that the governor and his brother have investments in the solar energy. So there's just a lot that looks fishy here. Where does it all go now?
That's a great question. And don't forget that the pipeline is scheduled to go over land owned by the Cooper family, his brother, as well as him. So there's that. That's the million-dollar question. So what's going to happen is the lawmakers are going to talk. They come back in session in mid-January. January 14th is when they all return to Raleigh with this committee and everything. Now, things will happen, and talks will happen between now and then. But when they come back in mid-January, that's when they will decide what to do, whether to turn everything over to the FBI and continue investigations, whether or not to maybe even remotely start even, or maybe even consider impeachment proceedings. There are a lot of different avenues, or they could say, you know what, we just don't have a smoking gun and we'll drop everything. So there's a lot that has to go on between now and when the committee meets back in January 14th.
Meantime, this back and forth between Cooper and Duke Energy over all of this is interesting. Duke, of course, gives lots of money to Democratic politicians. Cooper is saying, no, I never met privately with Lynn Good, the CEO. And she's saying, yeah, we met privately and talked about the money. So that's another intriguing aspect of this.
It really is, because they've turned over emails and text messages that were involved with members of Cooper's staff saying, we're still waiting on this deal to be reached before permits happen. And like, it's just like they've caught a couple of the governor's chief of staff in lies, just flat out lies with documentation. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens going forward and if there's a big argument, like you said, between Roy Cooper and Duke Energy.
Yeah. All right. Brett Jensen live with us from Raleigh. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Mark.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench. Everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake.
It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.